Hello, welcome to The Musics in Japan,
a conversational podcast about daily life for an American couple living long-term in Japan.
So this is not going to be a heavy episode, but lately I've been thinking about anti-vaxxers around the world because we have international friends, which is really awesome. We have friends on every continent except Antarctica. You all know I'm obsessed with Antarctica. I just want to know somebody that's been there or that's going there. Like, for reals, if you've been there, let me know so I could be like, I know someone who has been, because it's so hard to get permission to go to that continent.
Well, but you still couldn't necessarily say you know somebody who's been to every continent, because they could go to just, like, South America and Antarctica, or just Africa and Antarctica.
So I know people from every continent except that one.
Right.
And I have to clear my throat, I'm sorry.
I don't think there's anybody actually from Antarctica.
Yeah, no, there's nobody from there, but, like, people who go there for research.
Okay.
And we know enough researchers that, like, to me it's ridiculous. I feel like we know people who have been there that are actively keeping it from me.
I was asked at work if somebody could work from Antarctica.
And see, so, like, Let us know. If you're a music note and you've been, let me know.
It was a pure hypothetical, because my response was no, because they don't have good enough internet.
So. Well, with the book, someone just told me that they're opening a printing press on the continent.
Why?
I don't know. So we'll have to ask our friend if they know more about that.
Yeah. Do they just print cool books?
Yeah, I don't know anything more about it than that. But okay. They sent it to me on Twitter, because I'm so obsessed with it, that they were like, hey, maybe you can get someone to print one of the books.
Yeah, that's
And I'm like, why wouldn't they just use ebooks, like download it onto their Kindle or what have you?
That's not what Sheets of Ice means.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of that fragile continent having books printed on it, because printing machines are so horrible for the earth. But then ebooks, too, also have a carbon footprint. I'm just digressing out the gate.
Yes, you
are. Look at this. Like, rein me in. That's your job.
So do you think that people are more likely to want books printed in Antarctica if they're anti-vaxxers?
Sorry for the throat stuff. My throat is just thick. They've been working on our building. And the dust is just really got my allergies kicking up. And the way my allergies are kicking up is, like, just causing a post-nasal drip that's making my throat thick.
Yes, they were power washing.
Yeah, so just kicked up all the dust. Like, my hands are itchy. Like, my allergies are horrible. So, anyways, I feel like when it comes to anti-vax, there are certain countries where the anti-vaccine or pro-vaccine, where both of those sides are very vitriolic. I feel like in the UK and in the United States, and in Australia, they're very vitriolic, and in Sweden. But I don't feel like you're having that same vitriol in Italy, in Japan, in Canada, in Mexico, and in Brazil. I'm not seeing that same level, and I'm not hearing that same level reported to me. And, like, some countries are okay with some citizens are okay with, like, hey, a vaccine passport makes sense. And others are like, you're trampling, like, don't tread on me. The United States is very much don't tread on me.
Yes, yeah, so it's interesting because I know that there's all the cultural explanations and you're the culture expert, so I don't think I know better than you. Because you're literally an expert in culture.
Yeah.
But when I look at it, what I see is that the countries where the government is like, yes, we are just imposing this on you, and there's a history of that, aren't having the strong reactions that are being had in countries that have been all along, we're protecting your freedoms. And I think so, it's the framing.
But Sweden does not have that, we're protecting. Sweden and Switzerland both don't have that history.
But Sweden and Switzerland have a long history of, like, having problems with Nazis and, like, with extreme right-wing fascists who are anti-government.
But Germany's not, at least our friends in Germany are not reporting that they're having any issues with that.
Right, because in Germany, the anti-government fascism is kind of not allowed. You have a certain amount, but, like, Nazi imagery is banned by law.
But what does Nazism have to do with the vaccine? Because you have, like, the Nazi party's alive and well in Japan.
Right.
And, but there is no not, the fascism is, and Italy has a history of fascism, but they're completely okay with it.
Right, but what I'm saying is not countries that have a history of fascism, because I think most countries either have a history of fascism or were colonized.
I think.
What I'm saying is that governments that in the recent future have said, yes, we are just
in the recent future, so you're time traveling now?
I am time traveling.
Okay, so tell us about the future.
Okay, in the recent future, it's so recent, it looks like the past.
So I think that you're way off here on what's okay. going on. I think the reason, because, so for me, what's tripping me out is that the portion of the population that is anti-vax per country, based on like reading the news, because I'm really interested in this, and reading the news about it, it's all about the same percentage per country.
Right.
But the vitriol specifically is what's tripping me out. And so to me, it's the countries where they think they have a right for their voices to be heard and that their voice is significant in and of itself, that mm-hmm. their opinions are important for the world to know. So like take Japan, for example. I know that my opinion does not matter to Japan.
Right.
I know that the government does not care what I think. And I have met and I know the mayor of our city. And the mayor of our city does not care what I think when it comes to political matters because I am not part of the political system. So, like, there's none of this BS about my respondents and my constituency. It's very patriarchal and it's very much, I know what's best. You voted me into office because you trust me to know what's best for you. I don't think that that is the same rap and rhyme in Mexico.
No, I don't think so.
And I don't think that's the same rap and rhyme in Italy. So for me, I don't feel like it's a government structure. I think it's more a culture of, does my voice matter? Do I need to make myself heard? Do I need to stand up and be counted? And those countries, to me, that have a culture of, I need to be heard, I'm very self-important because I know in Finland, the anti-vax community is like really loud. And I find that for me, so I know about 5 or 6 people from each of these countries.
Right.
So this is like a really small sample and then looking at what their news is reporting. And so that's where I'm seeing these differences. And I think it's really cool for me to be in Japan where they'll just shame you into getting vaccinated if you're an anti-vaxxer.
So when you're talking about this, I'm thinking that it's interesting that the places you're mentioning are places where you can get famous for being contrarian. So it's not even, I want my voice heard, because there are a lot of people here in Japan who are like, I want my voice heard, and I agree with everything the government does.
Yeah.
But being contrarian doesn't get you a lot of airtime.
Yeah, that's true. Where dissension is its own form of marketability.
Right. Yeah, so I'm thinking about a conversation I had at work, which this is not confidential because this is the company's public position, which we had a conversation about how to message about vaccination because it's a legal requirement that if people are going to be in the office after October 15th, they have to have had at least one dose. Like okay. The company is going to comply with the law. But there was also a conversation among management about, let's get our messaging on this right, that we are not inquiring into people's beliefs about vaccines. We are not trying to shame anybody who might not want to be vaccinated or who might believe that they shouldn't have to. We are just letting people know this is a legal requirement and we're going to comply. And if you don't want to get vaccinated, we'll continue to allow you to work from home just as we will if you do get vaccinated. If you have to be in the office and you don't want to get vaccinated, talk to our HR department, basically, to work out what's going to happen.
So what I find is interesting is in Japan, the corporate message is there's no legal requirement for you to be vaccinated, but know that we know you want to kill us.
Right.
All of your colleagues will know that if you did not go down and get your vaccine, that you don't care about destroying the business and the Japanese economy. And it's just that straight out. We know that you want to kill your colleagues, that you want to destroy our business, and that you don't care about the Japanese economy, nor do you care about the Japanese family system, because you don't care that you might be killing your coworkers' children as well.
I think it's important to note. And creating orphans. I think it's important to note here, too, that in Japan, your medical information is not private from your employer.
Yeah, it's public. So, like, if you go to a therapist or a, and this trip, this is one of the reasons. So, for psychology, they only allow 15, they only, national insurance will only pay for 15 minutes for talk therapy, which is not enough time to accomplish anything.
Once a month.
Yeah, once a month, 15 minutes. That was one reason why I didn't belong to the national health system. But if I took even one client under the national health system, all of my clients would lose confidentiality when it came to work. So I was like, no, thank you. So if you go to a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a urologist, all of your medical history, your employer has a right to see it. So whether or not you've been vaccinated, they announce it to the company that you haven't. These are your coworkers that have not been vaccinated. There are still companies in Japan that in the morning they do a morning announcement and they do morning calisthenics.
Calisthenics. Radio exercises.
Yes. And then they announce, like, who hasn't been vaccinated yet. And the companies that don't do the calisthenics, your boss will tell you, I know that you're not vaccinated, so here, you have to do this. And anybody that goes around you has to do this extra thing. So as people are talking to you, they're double masking and sanitizing their hands while they're talking, and they're staying away from you. And so you're basically, you become a social pariah.
I think it's interesting, too, because thinking about this, I remember people who work at large companies got vaccinated before we did, at least here in Nagoya, yes. Because the companies paid
for the staff to come and
vaccinate. So they went down to like Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, which has like 10,000 people working there.
Yes.
And set up, okay, everybody get vaccinated. Like, we have the vaccines here today.
And he said, we won't fire you. We just know you don't care about the company.
And then it turned to, we won't fire you, you just can't come to work.
Yeah. So it's for at the big companies, it's very much you're going to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And then for small business owners, they're vaccinated because a trend started for restaurants to brag and boast that all of their employees are vaccinated as a way to get clients to come in. And then it turned into, and we encourage our customers to be vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, please get your food for takeout. If you're not vaccinated, please don't eat here. If you're not vaccinated, please don't shop here, at least in Nagoya and in some places in Tokyo as well. And so the social pressure to be vaccinated is causing anti-vaxxers, the number of people who aren't vaccinated, to drastically shrink in Japan. And so there isn't the outcry. Like in the United States, there are businesses that are doing that, and people.
Well, in California, it's now a requirement in California that, for example, restaurants have to check your vaccination status. You have to show them your vaccination status to eat indoors.
Yeah, and then they have those restaurants that are anti-vax restaurants.
Yeah.
Not in a state of California, not our home state. But there's an anti-vax, at least in Texas, there's...
I know, Texas, yeah.
...is an anti-vax restaurant.
I've lived in Texas for a couple of years. It was not my best years.
And I don't know of any anti-vax restaurants in the UK. Like, I only know of anti-vax restaurants in Texas is the only one I've heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I find it interesting that... So you know more about the vaccine passports. I only know about Japan's vaccine passport because we're looking at possibly traveling to Australia next year. And so I'm very interested in it because my concern is if there's a lockdown, can we get back into Japan?
Yes.
So I'm not worried about getting into a country. I'm worried about getting out of a country and back into Japan because so many of our friends were stranded outside of the country. And these were Japanese nationals stranded outside of Japan when COVID hit. So now I'm just like, okay, how long can we afford to not be in Japan?
Yes.
And how can we work our way to get back to Japan? And so I know all of the information that's on the passport and how to get the passport and all of that. We're not traveling yet. This is for next year in 2023, like 8 months from now, I think.
Well, we have our vaccination status stickers. So we each have our piece of paper that says we're vaccinated with QR codes on it for the specific date and lot number and all of that.
Yeah, but that's not the passport.
Right.
We use that to get the passport.
Right.
And right now, 6 countries except the Japanese vaccination passport, and Australia is one of them.
Yeah, but they're still not open to anybody. So, like, we accept that this is a valid passport. You still can't come.
Yeah.
But we accept that this is valid.
Yeah. So there's certain exceptions in Australia, but we don't qualify.
No, we don't qualify for any of that. We're not reuniting with family or anything like that.
Yeah. So for like reuniting the family, and if you're an Australian national, and if you have a significant reason for going to Australia.
Right.
And we don't have a significant reason.
We want to.
Yeah. Because that's my reason, okay?
Because. That seems to be the reason.
And it's significant to me because I haven't traveled in almost 2 years. How about that? So by the time we travel, it will be over 2 years since we went anywhere.
Yeah, I feel like we're being good about that because it is tempting to just move into a hotel for a month while they work on our building.
Like, it's super tempting. Super tempting.
I'm not saying we could afford it. I'm not saying I wouldn't get sick of the food, but stop with the banging.
Well, no, there are some hotels I would never get sick of their food. Their food is so good. Like, the food in Hakone is so good. So good. And then the special treats from the chef, oh my gosh. That mushroom soup was so good. It was a mushroom soup, and I couldn't tell you what else was in it.
Broth.
Yeah, it was a clear, I think it was made with dashi.
Probably.
So I think it was a dashi base with mushrooms. So that's a fish flake base. You use the fish flake and they dissolve in water and then it becomes dashi.
Yeah. Like how Worcester sauce has fish in it as well.
Yeah. And it was a clear broth. And y'all have heard me. Music notes know that I love that soup in Hakone. Because I forever talk about it. It's another one of my obsessions. So you were talking with a friend that has the passport from the United States.
Well, so here's the thing is that apparently this is this is rumor, but I believe it. Because of the health privacy laws in California, they won't release enough information to get the electronic COVID passport that would be good in parts of Europe.
So, okay.
Like, they have the COVID passport on their phone.
Okay.
But it doesn't have enough detail to satisfy some of the European countries. And because they're from California, there's a specific law against disclosure, which seems silly to me. Like, you should be able to override that law on your own behalf.
Yeah, you should be.
But I also have seen that kind of abuse of, no, we got permission.
Yeah.
That companies do. We got permission. It was like in tiny 3-point font down at the bottom of the website that said that we have permission. But so... Yeah, but he's traveled for work within California. And I think San Francisco right now is at like 96% vaccinated or something. Very low numbers for a city of its size.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But
very low numbers for unvaccinated.
Right, right.
So for me, the vitriol around the vaccine... And the politicizing of the vaccine, like the vaccine has become very political in the UK, very political in the United States, very political in Switzerland and Sweden. And I was really surprised because I've just recently gained friends from Switzerland, Sweden, and my perception of those countries are so shaped by what America teaches us. And what I learned historically in America is that Switzerland and Sweden are two countries that we aspire to be like. And after going to Sweden, I was like, okay, one, Denmark is right next to Sweden. And I see now why people are like Denmark and Sweden, because they're really close. And two, I didn't see that aspirational and like talking to our friends. I was seeing like, okay, well, they left out the part where you have to serve in the military.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do that.
Or do civil service.
Yeah, I don't want to have to do that.
Yeah.
So that's not aspirational to me. They left out the tax burden, and I was like, that's not aspirational to me. But now this dissension between people who are anti-vax and people who want to be vaccinated, I'm really surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't have guessed that Sweden would have this divide. And I also wouldn't have guessed that Switzerland would have this divide, because we're also told that, you know, Switzerland is neutral and even and level-headed. That's the...
Operates like clockwork. That's why Swiss watches are so great, is because all of society operates like clockwork, is what I was always told. Like, I know people from there, and they're like, that is not what happens.
Yeah, so, like, that's not... at all what happens is what I'm learning.
Right.
And so hearing that people don't want their freedoms encroached upon, then their personal medical choices encroached upon, was surprising for me.
I think if you phrase it as, do I want my freedom encroached upon? The answer is no. But then it gets down to specifics of how much is my freedom encroached upon because I can't ride public transit because there are so many people unvaccinated on it that I am at risk of catching something.
So I think this notion of absolute freedom, I think if you ask these people who are fighting for their freedoms, if you ask them, do you support anarchy?
Right.
They would say no.
They would be like, no, that's Antifa. I don't support Antifa.
That's in the United States.
Right, yeah, in the United States.
But I'm saying globally, like when people are saying that I have to support the speech of Nazis and extreme free speech, that's anarchy. That's not free speech. That's anarchy. So for me, there has to be some checks and balances in place if you want to have a civil society. So asking them, would you rather have anarchy or a civil society? And I, if you want anarchy, I support your right to be an anarchist. But I also support my right to not be an anarchist. To support my right to say that I want to live in a civil society. And a civil society requires rules and laws. So when people are saying, I have the right to choose extreme choice, I have the right to choose not to be vaccinated, then you should also be pro-choice in all choices when it comes to your body. So for me, if you are pro-life, you are also pro-vaccination. Those two things should go hand in hand, because you can't tell me that, oh, I have to grow a life in my body, but you have the right to not be vaccinated because of how it might impact. Those two things don't jive for me.
You expect me to grow a baby, but you don't want to grow antibodies?
Right?
Oh, the bodies are okay, but the antibodies aren't?
Right? And for me, like, having a baby puts my life at risk.
Yes. Your doctor told you that.
Yes. And I had a baby anyways. I have a miracle baby. And...
but when we went to your doctor, and we talked about this before, he's like, you know, if you have another baby, you will die.
Yes.
I'm like, so will you give her, you know, a hysterectomy? Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
We won't do that.
So look at all the medical choices that you don't really have. And the freedom in the United States and the freedom in Switzerland and Sweden and Japan, freedom is an illusion. And the extreme freedoms that people are fighting for with anti-vaccination, that's an illusion. There is a price to be paid for a civil society. And if you want toilet paper, if you want toilet paper, there are rules that have to be in place for you to have toilet paper. So tell me that you don't use toilet paper. Tell me that you grow your own food. Tell me that you are completely off the grid and that you're not going to be vaccinated because you don't use any of the government infrastructure that's in place to make your life easier in any way, that you are off in a separatist colony and that you guys are completely self-sustaining.
How would they tell you that, though?
Right? Because even if you look at the Amish and what's the other group?
Mennonites?
Yeah. If you look at the Amish and Mennonite, they still do trade.
Yes.
And so they are still interacting with the government infrastructure. They're still interacting with the civil society because nobody's encroaching on their land.
Yeah, so I think that freedom to make your own choices is not freedom from the consequences of those choices.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an extreme position. But my parents were anti-vaxxers before it was cool.
Yeah.
Before the Wakefield paper suggested that, you know, vaccination causes autism. So,
which has been disproven.
Absolutely. But
it is not proven. You know, I hate every time you mention that paper because I feel like you're propagating it.
Mm.
I feel like you're promoting it. And the doctor who was responsible for spreading that correlation has lost their license to practice medicine. They've been run out of town by everybody except Autism Speaks.
Yes.
And so, like, as much as you are anti-Autism Speaks, I'm against you naming that paper. It is not science.
No, it's not.
It is not science.
But, so I couldn't go to my first day of high school because I didn't have the required vaccination.
Yeah.
Because in Alaska, to go to your first day of high school, you have to have your vaccinations up to date.
In California, to go to elementary school, you have to have your vaccinations up to date.
So that was when I got all my vaccinations because my parents were like, oh, you can't go to school, but we want you to go to school. I guess we'll get you vaccinated.
Yeah.
So I feel like the imposing restrictions of you can't do this thing unless you're vaccinated is effective.
Yes, it is.
Like a lot of people in California got vaccinated when they put laws in place that you have to be vaccinated to go certain places. And I think there are people who are professional contrarians.
Yeah.
Who are like going around places getting thrown out for not being vaccinated and making money from that.
But a lot of anti-vaxxers are getting COVID and almost dying, and there's really bad information out there. People say, well, if you get COVID once and you go to the ICU, you won't go to the ICU again if you get it a second time. And that is not true.
That's not true at all. Yeah.
And there was, I saw this interview on the news of a group of 5 people who had had COVID twice. And then they were anti-vaxxers who then got vaccinated because they had COVID once. And they thought, well, I had COVID. I was in the ICU. That was awful. And so now I'm not going to be able to get COVID again. They got COVID a second time, went into the ICU. They're like, that was awful. I'm going to get vaccinated. And then they got vaccinated. And I find the people who are getting COVID multiple times and then saying that the diagnosis is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because in some countries, the medical establishment has a history of lying, has a history of misleading people, and has a history of mistreating certain populations. And I think that's really sad. I think we need a system of getting good information out there. And I think that there should be censorship. Censorship stops lies from being told.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Like, I know that
censorship protects people.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, censorship is a slippery slope. And if you tell me that, I say you're ignorant of the fact that censorship already exists and that things are already being censored.
Yes.
That you already live in a censored society. There is no society in existence in the world currently today. And if you can find one, please hit us up in the comments or hit us up on Twitter at The Musics and tell me what country you can say anything you want in a public forum. Anything at all without any legal ramifications. There isn't a society on earth that's true.
Yeah, I think the U.S. comes the closest, but that's just legal ramifications from the government. There are a few things you can't say still.
So defamation of character, that's, if someone can sue you for defamation of character, that's censoring your speech. If someone can sue you for, if you can be arrested for inciting violence, that's censoring of your speech.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about, attacking the president.
Well, there was this really famous, I don't know if they're still famous, but there was a famous YouTubers that were going to, from the UK, that were going to visit, that wanted to visit the United States, and they tweeted out that they wanted to dig up Marilyn Monroe's body, that they wanted to visit her grave and dig up her body, and they were held in customs in the United States for 8 hours because of a tweet.
Yeah.
And sent back. So tell me again how America supports freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Who believes that that's really their reason for coming to the United States? And really, Marilyn Monroe's body? Like, that's the, they're not, they weren't able to enter the country. So that shows you that America has censorship. And if you look at Fox News, how much they've had to retract and pull back everything they were saying regarding the election. So individual citizens getting on television and spewing whatever comes to their mind on both sides of the aisle. I don't care what your political affiliation is. I think every political party has their extreme, their extreme views. You can't do that without paying a price. So if someone can sue you for something you've said, then you need to watch what you say. Then you need to censor what you say.
Yeah, I think the same thing in the U.S., opinion is not a protected class.
No, it's not.
So if a company doesn't want to hire you because you are an asshole on social media.
And lots of people have lost their jobs because of things they've said on social media. All you have to do is go to the hashtag racist of the day, or go to the hashtag Karen. Which I don't. I feel bad because I have a really dear friend named Karen who is absolutely lovely. Just a lovely person. And what about all the black Karens out there? So I love all the skits with the support.
And what about all the Chads there? We don't have any Stacys in our life at the moment, I don't think. But we have a Chad in our life.
Yes, you, Chad.
Yes, thank you.
So Chad is the name that a group of people have given for muscular.
The cool guy.
Yeah.
Basically me.
Yeah. So for me, I'm just either be an anarchist or get vaccinated. Because I believe in both choices, but I don't believe in half-assing it. Half-assing it.
In Japan, the protest is very quiet. At my previous job, there was a coworker there who would go and protest at organized rallies and things, which would have a few people.
Like
there.
They're very organized and very they happen from this time to this time,
right.
And they're on time.
But there are smaller acts of civil disobedience in the sense of the convenience store owner who didn't like that he was required by his convenience store agreement.
Yeah.
To stay open all night. So he would shut at night. And that became national news, the fight between him and the franchise, because he wasn't going to stay open from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And the publishers, the publication of the names of pachinko parlors that didn't shut down when they were requested to for COVID.
Yeah.
And so there was a pachinko parlor that was we shut down, but we're still getting blowback because other parlors didn't. So on this day, we have 400 open slots for vaccinations. And we will do it again in a month so people can get their second if they came.
Yeah.
So, just remember our name when you think of pachinko parlors.
Yes. When you think of someplace you can go to not gamble and win cigarettes that you can then exchange for money.
Yes.
Because it's not gambling.
At a predictable rate.
Yeah. You're just winning prizes.
That exchange happens down the street at a separate business.
Yes. And it's just a tobacco. What is a tobaccoist called?
They're called a tobaccoist.
No, I thought they were called something else.
No, you've got it right there.
I thought there was like a fancy name for a tobaccoist.
I think that's a pretty fancy name already.
I think there's a fancier one.
I think there's a fancier one.
Yeah, I do. I know it's not humidor. I know that's for cigars. But I thought there was one for places that just sell tobacco products.
Smoke I can't shop?
Think of it. What?
A smoke shop? That seems less fancy
than tobacco. No, not a smoke shop. And head shops don't sell tobacco.
Right.
They sell water pipes. They sell hookahs. They do not sell bongs. They sell water pipes.
Yeah.
But I guess now they can sell bongs. I wonder if they can sell bongs now that marijuana is illegal in the United States.
Well, marijuana is illegal in the United States at the federal level. And that's why Tommy
Chong... At the state level, not the federal.
You mean legal? At some states.
Yeah, it's like, legal.
Tommy Chong went to prison because he was calling his water pipes Chong's bongs.
Yeah.
And they were like, if you call it a bong, you're admitting it's paraphernalia. And while we're not going to charge anybody with selling marijuana, we will charge people with selling paraphernalia.
Yeah.
So I think it's still quasi-legal.
Yeah, it's still in the gray area. Like, I was reading about Amsterdam and how it's illegal to grow marijuana, even though it's legal to smoke it.
Yeah, so possession is decriminalized under a certain amount, and they just kind of let it go on. I have a friend there.
But that's like a major digression.
So, oh, look at you calling back the digressions.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I can do it too. So for me, when I'm looking at the vitriol around vaccination, as y'all know, we're both disabled, and early on, when COVID first hit, we had the whole family in the house, and now we still don't go out to eat. We still limit our grocery shopping. We haven't traveled. We don't take public transportation anywhere. I'm only leaving the house for doctor's appointments. I have dentistry that I need to get done that I haven't left the house to get done. I'm going to break down and get done now that...
Yeah.
I'm trying to like pick a window when we're not having a spike to get my dentistry done. And we're still living a really strict life. And the reason we're living such a strict life is because Japan has just now started to vaccinate children or teens. And we're waiting until the majority of the population is vaccinated. And I want vaccine passports to catch on. Because I would love a hotel that to check into it, you had to have a vaccine
and passport. Japan is vaccinating from 5 years old now, I think. That they have extended it back to now vaccinating children. Only with Pfizer, not with Moderna.
Ooh, that's a tough vaccination.
Yeah.
Why Pfizer? That's a bad trick.
Because Moderna hasn't been approved in kids.
Okay.
And so... Yeah, it's complicated, but Moderna hasn't been approved in kids, and Pfizer has been tested in kids. That's why it's Pfizer.
Mm. So for me, it feels really personal because it's limiting my rights and my freedoms and my choices. And I've always held the belief that your rights end at the beginning of, at the tip of my nose.
Yeah.
And so you don't have the right, from my perspective, because I do want to live in a civil society, your rights end when they encroach upon my rights. And not being vaccinated, there's such a huge part of the population that is immunocompromised. And because they're on immune suppressors, they can't be vaccinated. Because coming off of the immune suppressors long enough to be vaccinated...
Yeah, so here's the thing about that is that when they studied it, there are a few conditions like mast cell activation syndrome where you're allergic to everything, so you can't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
But like lupus, which you have.
Yes.
They've said it's safe to get vaccinated, but there's no guarantee that your body will mount a response to it, which means that it might not do anything.
Yes.
And so even though Christopher is vaccinated, we don't have any guarantee that it took for you.
Yeah.
And so if you're around unvaccinated people, your body might react as though you aren't vaccinated, even though you went and got the injections.
So not just me, also our son.
Yes.
So even though I'm doing everything that I can to prevent the spread and to end this pandemic and to end all of the loss of life, I feel like everybody should pitch in. And I think to me, it goes beyond political affiliation.
Right.
And it comes down to us all being human beings and helping out each other live the best lives that we can live.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I were an extremist, I'd be like, well, you know, all of these people dying is good for the earth. And that's dark and heavy.
Or you could call it herd immunity. Like, we're getting rid of it by everybody dying who gets it.
Yeah, and so for me, I just... If you're not vaccinated, please go get vaccinated. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for yourself. Do it for everybody in your life that you love. Because if you have even one person in your life that you love, is their death worth you not being vaccinated?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to kill them? Because that's really what you're doing, you know? You're putting the person you love the most at risk. Because if you're not being vaccinated, it's clear that you don't love yourself enough to get vaccinated to protect your own life. But think of the lives of everyone else that you protect. And I don't think any pro-choice people listen to this podcast because they know I am pro-life.
Other way around.
I'm pro-choice, yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so hungry right now.
Dyslexia strikes again.
Yes. So... I am pro-choice.
Yes.
I don't think anyone who's pro-life listens to the podcast.
Right.
I believe in everyone's right to choose.
Yes.
And I think that they should be able to... I think that they have the right to be able to choose whether or not they get vaccinated. And I'm just asking them to please choose to get vaccinated. But I believe they have the right to choose not to.
Yeah, I think some of these...
Because I'm pro-choice.
I think some of these things, like a generation from now, won't be an issue, except among very few people, like seatbelts. I think very few people in the U.S. anymore are like, seatbelts are government oppression. I think pretty much everybody uses them.
Yes.
And motorcycle...
But I remember when the helmet law first came out.
I was just going to say, motorcycle helmets, when it came out, they were like, you're oppressing me.
And I'm old enough to remember the seatbelt laws.
Yes, me too.
Coming into effect.
Me too.
Are you really, though?
Yeah, I really am, though.
But really?
Yes.
Okay. I've decided I'm 55 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is a point at which that statement will be true. It's not this point.
Because I think 52 is boring. Who's 52?
You
That's
are.
So boring.
That
no.
Makes the most I'm 55 exciting age
now. I'm 55 now. 52 feels like there's a lack of gravitas. I feel like 50, there was gravitas to saying, I'm 50. So I did that for 4 years before I turned 50.
What if we say it in Japanese, like, go Junie, go Junie.
Yeah, that's fun.
Okay.
But nobody's saying that to me. And nobody's cheering me on.
I cheered you on just now.
I think I'm going to go with 55.
Okay.
Go Jugo, go Jugo.
In 3 years, we could play this back and be like, Sugoi, Christopher is 55.
So by the time they're listening to this, I might be 55.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't know. Don't oppress our
you
listeners.
You might be understating your age.
I might be.
Like, Christopher is 70. What are they talking about? 55.
So I just want to make a quick plea for everyone to please join our Patreon over at the Musics in Japan Patreon. There's over 100 different Take Twos that you can choose from. There's also cool merch discounts and free books and all kinds of great prizes because we do or buy us a cup of coffee, because Chad's mic is going on the fritz and we need to buy a new mic and improve our sound quality. So please, our next step is we would like to be able to get sound editing done, and we just can't afford to do that. So please think about joining our Patreon, and thank you for listening this week. We appreciate all of our We appreciate all of our music notes.
Yes.
We also have a podcast called The Writer's Triangle that I do, and everyone who listens to that, they're called Cinnabar Moths. But if you're a music note, you can be like, no, I am a music note that's also a Cinnabar Moth. And I'd love that.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. You can have that dual identity.
Yes, you can. You have whatever identity you want. We're identity positive. But on that happy note, thank you for listening. We value your time and attention. And we're going to head on over to the take two. And I have no idea what it's about, but I wrote it down. So I'm going to look at my piece of paper after I put my glasses on, taking you on my journey. I have no idea what it is. Oh, we're talking about nasty authors.
Are we? Okay. Let's do it.
We're talking. That's in 2 weeks. Next week, we're talking about how you can tell if a press is trustworthy.
That's
we're dragging folks 2 weeks in a row. So head on over to the take two and listen to us drag some folks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening. You can keep the conversation going on our website at themusicsinjapan.com. That's the music spelled M-U-S-I-C-K-S. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at The Musics on both.
And if you'd like to support us, please visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, join a Patreon tier, or send us a one-time donation through PayPal or Ko-fi. We hope you'll listen again next week.
Bye.